Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so we let's put some sound effects.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to kick you in the face there, Rosie.
Just kick Rosie.
I didn't mean to.
He's just trying to do a Halloween intro and you kicked my dog.
It was a love tap.
A love tap to the face with your foot.
That's how you do love taps. Hi, Rosie.
I feel very sorry for those you love. That's probably why a lot of my girlfriends love me. Yeah, it's just the love taps with my foot.
Keeps putting his foot in my mouth.
Well, they sleep. Yeah, that's how you show love.
Love taps.
Why do I have lint in my mouth?
Just fighting down, baby.
For capita export value.
Libraries. Goodness, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gold ass to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Guess what?
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous. Disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your fault?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! Happy Hoo! Do you hear all the spooky things and sound effects you're putting in? Oh, it's so creepy!
Legally binding, if you don't shit yourself by the end of this episode because it's so scary, Jesse legally owes you $1 million Canadian.
Worth of love taps.
Worth of love taps.
Yeah,
you'll get a checkbook of love tap vouchers.
Yeah, that you can come to me at any time,
and he will slowly tap you in the face with his foot. This is great. We've got some very, very, before we get into the Halloween episode and the spookiness, some very exciting news. If you haven't seen on our social media, and you are just a podcast listener, and you haven't seen in the news, because we did make some very small newspapers.
We're in the small news.
Podcast industry. We have done something very special. It's special to us. It might not be special in the grand scheme of things. So
special,
I have,
in quotes.
What's in this giant box I'm going to get, Jesse?
What's in the box? It's overdone.
So
it's a big white cardboard box.
This giant cardboard box.
I'm very excited. I'm going to pretend like I don't know, but I totally know.
Inside is a little...
Do you hear this? Reese is now joining the ASMR.
A brown box. And inside that, you'll hear the unforgettable sound of an audio cassette. So we've done an episode
called An Incomplete History of the Hudson Bay Company.
Yes.
That will only exist on 50 cassettes. And we will delete the original files. So these will be the only way to ever listen to this episode is by having one of these cassettes.
And it's a really good episode.
And it's 48 minutes long, 24 minutes A-side and B-side, because that's the technology. And you can only get them. Our patrons, they will be having from this collection of 50 to be sent. And that means that there will be some left for new patrons who want to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sign up...
First come, first serve basis.
Yes. So if you want to own this hard copy version of an episode that no one else will ever hear, then you need to go to patreon.com/Canadian Politics is Boring and you will get one of these cassettes as a join-in present. And it will it's exciting.
It is exciting. Tell them what they can expect to become if they become a patron. By the way, patron, if you're unfamiliar with patron is just a way to support your favorite local curators. Obviously, we're not as big as Netflix, and so we can't mass produce stuff and then charge like the masses, you know, a fee. Like it's like the days of old, artists would get kings and princes and queens to sponsor them to make them art and music.
Exactly.
And stuff like that.
And there's no one. We did ask King Charles. And he didn't return my phone call, so.
Which is weird, because he always returns mine.
Yeah.
And I just didn't bother asking him. So anyway, it's a place you can go, and you can give us a monthly fee to support us, and we give you neat stuff for that.
Yeah, so this is kind of the first of some neat stuff. It's like $7.50 a month.
Canadian.
There's a secret show called Canada is Boring. It's not that secret if you had some previews. It's just me and Jesse doing the same show, but instead of talking about politics, we just talk about weird stuff. Or unbelievable stories from Canadian history. There's one episode that just dropped called Who Was Jerome of Sandy Cove, which is a mystery, mm-hmm. great Canadian mystery from Nova Scotia. If you want to go, sign up, become a patron, and it will be great.
It will be fantastic. And Wafuckax coming up.
Exactly. And you will get all access to all of the Wafuckax. Normally, the first Wafuckax was totally free to everyone. The second one was behind a paywall, and this third one will also be behind a paywall.
That's right. So there you go. Patreon.com/Canadian Politics is Boring, or just follow the link in the show notes in the doobly-doo down below in your podcast player. Reese will probably put one there.
And go to our Instagram or any other social media if you want to see that cassette. Anyway.
Thanks.
We should start
talking.
There's
admin. Admin's done.
Let's skip the STD zone, because I think that was good for it.
Ah, that's not. That's admin. That's
what STDs did Jesse get this week? Chlamydia. That was the STD zone. So
it's not what the STD zone stands for.
So the St. Louis ghost train is the topic of tonight's episode.
Oh, hang on. Good.
Pause for lightning. Train sound. Train whistle. Bloody curdle scream. I may or may not get around to putting that in. So,
I hope you do.
Have you ever heard of St. Louis? Not the American one that everybody knows. The Saskatchewan one that very few people in comparison.
Oh,
this is a
Saskatchewan episode.
It is.
Okay.
Shout out to Saskatchewan.
All my Sask buddies.
All my Saska bros.
Saska bros. Saskatchewans?
Saskatchewans. Saskotchans?
Let's
move on.
Saskatchewan buddies.
Yeah, there we go. Saskatchewan pals. There's more.
Saskatchewan wonders.
The reason I've chosen this ghost story is that it has a great combination of it's something spooky, but not something like a story like the one you did about Catman. That's just, you have to believe, you have to trust your friends.
The sound effects and the quote unquote creepy music you put to that story, by the way, was so cheesy that it alleviated it from what could have been an actual creepy story to something that you would tell 6-year olds at a campfire.
You're welcome.
Just before they pee themselves.
You're welcome.
Not because it's scary, but because they're six.
But that ghost story is reliant on you trusting your friend that he's telling you the truth, and us trusting you that you trust your friend and you're a good judge of character.
Yeah, which that's makes how me ghost just, stories work, man.
Which I don't think you're a good judge of character.
Thank you.
So,
that's nice.
So and that just takes away from the story. So what I wanted was a story that, if I was like, this is a ghost story, and if you would like to experience what happens to other people, you can actually go there, and there is a good chance that you will also get to see something weird.
Okay.
Which to me is way more scary.
So you're saying that the ghost story that you've discovered is better because you get to tell it versus the story that I discovered because I had to tell it.
No, what I'm saying is if you hear this story, yeah. You could jump in a car, you can drive to St. Louis, and you can spend a week there hanging out in the evenings in this particular spot, and you might see this thing that we're talking about.
I don't like you boosting up your ghost stories by putting my ghost stories down. That's
okay, tell
shitty.
Me, what's your guide to seeing Catman?
Well, you go to that guy's house and you just kind of wait in his bedroom. And you,
I can give you Google directions to see it. I'll drop a pin for you. Anyway.
I like that story.
It was a good story. Yeah, right. What I'm saying.
Yeah, sure it was.
But, you know, it was a good story, but this one.
This one's better. This
will blow your socks off.
All right.
They'll blow your socks all the way from Halifax to St. Louis.
I'll be sockless by the end of the episode, which is great because that way I can give you a nice love tap. Yeah, exactly.
gentle love taps to the forehead.
That's how I say goodnight.
Yeah. Good night, my sweet angel. Anyway. So this is supposed to be scary. Stop laughing. St. Louis is a small village located 35 kilometers south of Prince Albert.
I'm sorry, I can't get it out of my mind. It's just like...
Can we proceed?
I just got one shoe and sock on, the other one totally barefoot, and just put my girlfriend to bed and just reach over my sockless foot in front of her face and wish her good night.
Try it. Try it tonight. Deep breath. Deep breath. There we go. Okay. And learn.
Okay. Saskatchewan, 1, 2, 3, go!
The small village of St. Louis is 35 kilometers south of Prince Albert and is home to 450 people, roughly. It was founded by the Métis in the 19th century, and it was incorporated as a village on May the 19th, 1959. Interesting fact about St. Louis. So is a large archaeological site of indigenous artifacts, and some of the amazing discoveries are species of wolf and buffalo that are 25% larger than modern species.
Wow.
So, and some beads and clothing that's 1,000 years old. So that's a little bit of context, a little bit of St. Louis.
That's pretty neat. What's the population there again?
450.
Oh, it's tiny.
It's tiny.
Wow.
So,
okay. What is there? Hold on, let's paint a little picture. What is there to do in St. Louis? St. Louis or St. Louis?
St. Louis.
Okay. Yeah, what is there to do in St. Louis?
I've been calling it St. Louis. It might be St. Louis.
Is it St. Louis?
Of course, let's call it St. Louis. I'm an idiot. Dyslexia.
It's not dyslexia. I mean, they're spelled the same way. It could be one or the other. Who knows?
Who knows? I read it as St. Louis, but maybe it's St. Louis. Anyway, so essentially, there's a river and a really nice bridge.
Ooh, so you can go fishing. Okay, that's
fishing,
cute.
Hiking, right. I imagine.
All right. Hike to the bridge to fish.
Yeah.
All right. I got a corner store where you can buy, like, pop.
I assume so. Okay. Let's assume there is. It's run by a lovely old couple called
Bertha and
Bertha
Henry.
And Bill.
Henry Bill.
There's three of them. Yeah. Very modern,
yes,
place.
Exactly.
Very progressive.
Yeah, exactly. They're
in a triple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they run the convenience store, the only convenience store.
Yeah, exactly.
Called Martha, Ben, and Henry's. Is it Bill? Bill. Martha, Bill, and Henry's.
Yes. Which, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
north of St. Louis. Place. It is. It's all going on. So north of St. Louis, there are some abandoned train tracks.
Okay.
And you can see the evidence of the train tracks. The train tracks are disused. They are rotting away. There's chunks missing. There's grass has grown over them. So these are unusable train tracks that were abandoned.
Now, okay. You can come across these all over Canada, honestly.
Exactly, yeah. Trains aren't cool anymore.
Oh, they're still cool. So, I like trains a lot.
They are cool.
The last time I was actually on a train might have been like 10 years ago. It was via rail. I was going across, I think it was just going to New Brunswick. And the train was practically empty, right? So I was just spent my time just wandering up and down the train. And then I got to the first class cabin, which was also empty. Like the whole place was just really quite just under, it was, nobody was using the train. And so I decided to just kind of wander into the first class cabin and take a look. And then down immediately comes running.
Comes running down.
Immediately, as soon as I get into the first class cabin, one of the train stewardesses, I don't know what they're called, comes running down to explain the importance of segregation to me. And so off I had to go back to the poor section of the train because, like, you know, I just couldn't be there.
So, because yeah, you're poor.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, yeah.
So there is what people, it's known as the St. Louis ghost train. St. Louis ghost train, whichever one it is. The okay. St. Louis is more fun to say, is the St. Louis ghost train.
It reminds me of chocolate.
Yeah. It's a mysterious white and a light that also shines red that runs across those tracks as if it's a train.
What?
So this is an eyewitness.
It's account. Just a red light that goes along the tracks as if there's a train?
Here's a description by local resident Edward Lussier, who remembers, he's grown up, he spent his whole life in St. Louis and remembers seeing the ghost train throughout his entire life.
What?
It was very prominent, the light coming through the bush. It was so obvious what it was. It actually did look like a train. It was just weird. The light would come out and it would reach the bush line and would fade away. There's certain things our community is known for, and it's put us on the map and made us feel proud. So he's seen the light probably 50 to 60 times in his lifetime.
Wow. Was it just him? Because that could be a brain disorder.
No, it's not just him. He's just someone who's lived in the town long enough to see it many times.
Okay.
So, and this made me laugh. It was something to do in St. Louis. There's not much else to do in a small town apart from witness a ghost train.
And apparently. Go to Martha.
Yeah.
Bill and Henry's convenience store.
Exactly. So.
Is it Martha?
And there's lots of legends about what it actually is. But there's one legend from the 20s when a Canadian National Railway conductor was examining the train tracks one night and was decapitated.
How? From what?
A train.
But an actual train or a ghost train?
No, he was killed. Like where the site is, somebody was decapitated in the 20s.
Oh, I thought you were saying that someone was decapitated by the ghost train. You're saying
ghost. That would be cool, but no.
Right. No, that's the ghost. That's the reason.
Something horrible happened to somebody, and maybe that's what causes it.
So a conductor was decapitated in the 1920s by a train.
Where the lights are.
Because he was inspecting the tracks?
Yeah, and he was decapitated. He looked up because he heard a train, and the train took his head off.
How quiet was this fucking train before it approached him?
Well,
was it sneaking up on him?
Maybe he had his headphones on.
He's a conductor. Yeah, he was listening.
Maybe he was listening to our cassette on his Walkman.
Ba-dum-dum. Yeah. That was a good plan.
Buy it, go Canadian Bollocks is boring at Patreon to go and get one. So
hold on. You're saying that we're going to call him Bob the Conductor. Unless he had a name. Does he have a name?
Just Bob. Conductor Bob.
Conductor Bob said, boy, these tracks look crooked. I better go inspect them. And he goes and he lays his head down. Not his head, sorry. His neck. He lays his neck down on one of the rails and stares forward in the opposite direction from where the trains come for like 10 minutes, ignoring the coming from the other direction. He's like,
I think the train's broken. He didn't even hear that broken train coming.
Toto.
So that's, and then he got decapitated. Never. Is that your?
Jesse's train.
I might have said it way better than that. Well, that's why he didn't know it was a train, because it didn't sound anything like a train.
Yeah, he was like, this is some kind of imbecile creeping up on me. I don't know. There's lots of ways to get decapitated by a train. That's one of them. Testing the strength of the track using a sensitive neck is one of them, I guess. But anyway, so local residents Betty and Les Rancourt have memories of seeing the ghost light that date way back to when they were in high school, and they're kind of older residents there. We did that all the time as teenagers growing up, and as we got older and got married, then our kids started to do that as well. So basically, they'd hang out at that spot hoping to see the light. You'd always see the light coming, always. I don't think I've ever gone when I haven't seen the light. The couple estimates they've seen the light more than 50 times.
Wow. We should go.
I know. So Les moved to St. Louis as a teenager and clearly remembers the first time he saw it when he was 16. We came here and walked down the track and I saw this light, which looked like pretty much a car light from the distance. But interesting thing, it had a little red light that moved around it up and down, said Les. But the town has actually embraced the light so much. They want to make it a tourist site. They can't because it's on private land.
The whole railroad?
No, just the spot where you can see the light. Because it's that common, they want to make it a tourist site.
Well, I'm sure they could make some kind of deal with the people who own that land.
So Mark Caron, who's the mayor of the village at the time, said, a lot of people do come from St. Louis asking where the ghost lights are. It gets the name of St. Louis out there in a fun and mysterious way. So the whole town is like, hey, come see our ghost train.
And now we're doing it on our show, right?
Every other Tuesday.
At 8 p.m., the lights show up.
I just want to say, sorry, I keep jumping between St. Louis and St. Louis.
That's fine.
I hope nobody cares. I don't. So.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the phenomenon has been featured in the television series Unsolved Mysteries and entails a strange light moving up and down an old abandoned rail line at night, changing colours and varying brightness. I found an investigator, internet investigator.
Oh, an internet investigator?
So it's called the lewislight.altspace.org. It's a really old looking website.
Can I see it? Do you have it?
I'll see if I can find it.
Is it like a GeoCities website?
It's not. It looks like it may be like slightly more modern than that, but half of the site doesn't work anymore. So it took me a long time to do it. I'll see if I can find
okay.
It. It's taking forever to load. It's here we go. Do you want to describe this website?
Okay. It's, oh my goodness. Okay. So
black background.
Black background, big white title with like, you know, the 3D titles, it's kind of popping out on the page, and then like bright yellow links on a black background with a single tiny, tiny photo of like, I guess the light on the train in a black background. Like, it's a very bad website.
But that's an actual picture of the light.
Oh, cool. Let me see it again.
Yeah, yeah, check it out. Yeah, yeah.
It's a tiny fucking photo. Can you blow it up?
No.
You can't click on it.
This website was designed for
It's
for
the
dialogue.
Size of my palm, the photo, and I can't enlarge it. It's black trees on a black sky with a tiny white pinprick in the middle. That's the light. Here come see it, everybody.
It's a ghost train. So anyway, to be fair, whoever put this together, they did quite a bit of research. So
okay, you know what? I'm making fun of someone who doesn't know how to make a website, which is like the majority of people. I'll give you that. I'm
Get
sorry.
Get on Squarespace.
Like, seriously.
No, unless they pay us to say that, don't.
Actually, shout out to Card, CARRD.co. They're amazing and really inexpensive. So there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
So this is the description they put. So the light becomes visible along an old track bed where the tracks have been removed. This particular stretch of track is straight. It does seem to raise slightly when you look south down its length. The sides of the track are wooded with bush. The light first becomes visible as a glow, then becomes brighter and can be much brighter than any star. The light appears to start on the right-hand side of the track and appears to move toward the center. One has the impression of something moving up a hill, around a curve, and after a few seconds, the light fades away.
Slow this down, and we're going to put some music to it.
Okay.
Slow.
Nice. Some have observed that the light can seem to come very close, but I have not observed this. The distance to the lights is very difficult to judge. I would estimate 500 meters. The light is sometimes followed by another light, a deep red, which seems to be closer. It moves erratically from left to right. This is the basic version of how I have observed the light to show up. However, there seem to be many variations on this theme. In addition, the lights I have mentioned, smaller lights which are less easy to see, seem to flash on and off around the general area of the light. I would not have mentioned these except for the fact that other people I have been with at the time also saw them.
Wow. Yeah. So let's just, little admin. Reese, why don't you read what is on the website? And this is the first person account.
This is a first person account of someone who's seen it many times and tried to document it the best they can.
Who is it?
I can't find their name on the dated website. Oh, sorry. No, there we go. It's actually just found her in the copyright. Nathan Friesen, 2001, this website's from.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan. Well, you know what? For 2001, it's a pretty good website.
It's the website of the future for 2001. So
that's cool, man. That's very cool.
Do you want to know something? Some people have had electrical problems with their vehicles parked nearby.
I was going to say people have electrical problems with their cars when they drive down the tracks. Yeah. That's in the middle of the night.
And they describe something else that happens, which is that when the light is bright and active, dogs and coyotes start to howl. So, and their description,
that's awesome.
It is quite creepy, actually. I've been able to observe this on at least two occasions. On a few occasions, the red light to the right of the tracks flickered violently and became very bright. Dogs and coyotes began howling, and even geese began honking a few seconds before the red light appeared. Yeah.
That's fucking wicked. That is amazing. Cool? That's very cool.
All these local people have seen it dozens of times. This person has been there so many times enough to like have different variations of seeing it.
You may have read it in my bio that I like a good ghost story, and it might sound like just a fun little thing to put there, but I genuinely love a good ghost story. I think they're really fun. Do I believe in ghosts? I don't know. I don't know. It's to talk about ghosts for a quick second. Like, human beings are really, really great at observation and pattern recognition. We're really, really, really great at pattern recognition. And when we see a pattern, we don't understand what it is. Oftentimes, we'll make it up. We'll make up the reason for it, right? So are ghosts real? Are they the spirits of the undead? I don't know. Who the fuck knows, right? Maybe, maybe not. Does that mean that something isn't happening? No, people are seeing shit happen all the time. What is it? Is it electromagnetic interference? Is it the spirits of the dead? Who the fuck knows what it is? But that doesn't mean that something isn't happening. That doesn't mean that people aren't observing a pattern over and over again. So, like, it's fun to believe in ghosts. It's fun. I don't know if I do, but I do know weird shit happens all the time that we can't explain.
Right? So that's why I love stuff like this, because it's almost like, this is how we believe reality is. And when something like this happens, you go, oh, the code's broken.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, he shouldn't be walking into that wall and half of him in the wall, like on a video game. But so when these things happen, it makes me go, oh, is this evidence that that we're in a simulation and they just forgot that bit?
I know it probably wouldn't be as... I don't know if it would be as popular as this, but like, I've always kind of wanted to make a spooky ghost story podcast where we get true ghost stories from around the world, whether it be YouTube or podcast, and just tell ghost stories, because I think that would be super fucking fun.
There's like a million podcasts that do that.
I know. I just think it'd be fun. Like, we wouldn't make any money off it. Like, Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, he was on, I think it was called Spooky, which is a podcast, and he told his story about like experiencing a fucking poltergeist. Did you hear this? No.
No, I didn't.
It's crazy. So he was off shooting The Walking Dead in Europe somewhere, and they put him up in an old, old hotel, right? And it was like this big sort of villa in, I don't know where it was, Italy or something like that. And he had the main floor to himself, and it was where an old artist used to live and apparently died. And it had
Vincent Van Gogh?
Yep, that's who it was. But anyway, like, the funny thing is that the people who put him up there knew how haunted this place supposedly was and didn't bother telling Norman, right? And Norman...
Maybe they didn't believe in ghosts.
Maybe, but they kept hearing about, like, they just didn't bother telling him. They're like, yeah, I guess maybe they just didn't believe in it, so they didn't put any stock into it. So Norman comes in, and that night, he's like... Norman has no expectation of what's going on. He's just there to have a nice night, you know, read his lines, get a good night's sleep, and then go to work the next day. And he goes there, and like the shutters in between each of the doors, in between each of the rooms, start like smashing closed and like shattering glass behind him, and like several of them. And like he just decides to, he's freaked the fuck out, but he doesn't leave, which is really fucking weird. He just goes to sleep. And the next day he calls the person who puts him up there, and he's like, yeah, so this happened. That was kind of weird, right? And they're like, oh yeah, no, that's happened before. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
he's like,
it's what? Just a ghost.
So he, they're
that's
like,
angry Neville, the ghost.
He was told to like bring some artwork of the artist, whether it be, I forget what they did, if they're a musician or if they're a painter or whatever, bring some artwork to show appreciation, pour some whiskey for them, and just like say thank you for staying in their place.
Yeah.
And he did it, and he could still feel this tense tension, but nothing happened the next night. Why he stayed, I don't fucking know. He's Norman fucking Reedus. Rent out an entire fucking hotel somewhere else. Like,
that's amazing.
Right?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. The poltergeist in Welsh history, poltergeist activity in Wales was put down to, they blame a pooka. So a pooka was a goblin, essentially, like an invisible goblin.
Okay.
So when they experienced weird like poltergeist activity, they thought they put it down to fairies.
Okay. Pooka. So pooka sounds cute, though. Doesn't sound...
I guess so, yeah. But yeah.
Have you ever experienced any ghost? I've only experienced like...
I told you a whole ghost story a few episodes ago.
Oh my God, you're right. You totally have. Yeah, sorry. Duh. Yeah.
I'm glad it had such a good impact on you.
My memory is shit,
such
man.
A lasted impact.
No, that was an amazing story. That was amazing. The only real, it's weird. I have a lot of friends who are into ghost stories and have a lot of personal ghost experiences. And I've had like two in my entire life, and they were kind of minor, but I was a kid. I might've been 10, 12. I'm going to say I was 12. And I just got in bed. So I wasn't asleep. There's no way I was asleep. It was like I got into bed 60 seconds ago, and I laid down. I was going to bed. I was going to sleep. And as clear as day, as much as it would feel right now, as if I did it to you myself, I felt a hand press into my back. And I jumped up, and there was nobody there. And I freaked the fuck out. And I, of course, I woke up my mom, and she came over and was like, well, maybe it was your guardian angel telling you everything was okay. I'm like, can you tell my guardian angel to fuck off? I didn't say fuck off. Can I tell him? Because I was 12. Can you tell him
and
to not
so
scare
Jesse,
the shit out of me?
What followed was 38 years of bad luck.
Oh, that would explain a lot.
Yeah. You told your guardian angel to fuck off. Yeah. Anyway, do you want to...
Is there more to the story?
There is.
Oh, good. Okay.
This would be a great movie. So two 12th grade students from Larong in Saskatchewan won a Science Fair gold medal for investigating and duplicating the phenomenon, which they claimed was caused by the diffraction of distant vehicle lights. It's almost like a Scooby.
They ruined it?
Scooby-Doo. No, let's wait and see. So they began with the hypothesis the ghost train was nothing more than vehicle headlights from a nearby road. And they wanted to try and prove it. So they visited the site several times.
The only thing that would be exciting about that experiment is if it failed. Like, I want that experiment to fail. you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. So the girls used a to-scale map and a compass and a global positioning system borrowed from one of their dads to calculate the precise location while viewing the lights from the old bed. So they basically then stood there and they tested different locations. So they got one of the girls got their dad to park in different spots around the site with his lights on.
What a good dad.
I know. It's like, he's just like, I just want to go home. I'm just supporting her love of science.
Whatever gets her out of the house.
So, and then they were on cell phones and they go, okay, flash your headlights now. And they do it. And then, so they did it in half a dozen different locations, watching for the ghost train to appear. But there was no match in the appearance of the ghost train.
Oh, it actually failed. They couldn't replicate it.
They were struggling with it. And then the girls wondered if the roads they were testing were too low to be seen from the old track bed. So the nearest roadway with a certain elevation was a hilltop on Highway 2, which was 8.5 kilometers away. And it seemed like it was too far. And after several tries, the greater the distance, they discovered a short stretch of highway. They were convinced they kind of recreated it.
So we got Dad to stay there for 20 minutes, just flashing the lights on and off. He'd tell me when he turned the lights on and off, and there was no question that there was no question where the light was coming from. So they kind of got something similar to happen from so far away.
What about the red lights, though, that moved up and down?
And when Elisa's father turned his vehicle around on the gravel road at the crest of the hill, the girls observed a reddish light occasionally reported by the ghost train observers. According to legend, the reddish light is the lantern of the dead conductor looking for his head. But according to their theory, it's the tail lights of one of their dad's car.
Well, that just ruined everything.
Yeah, so...
That sucks.
So... so they said,
Welcome to our new podcast, Reese Ruins Fun Things.
The research suggests an optical phenomenon called diffraction may be the answer. Light passing through a small opening, some distant trees, all these kind of things. Has the St. Louis ghost train been solved was kind of the tagline of it all. But
and then during their investigation, all three teenage girls were decapitated suddenly. The father was relieved and went home.
This is back in the year 2000. Something both girls were really pleased, and they earned them like the gold medal at the science fair. But that's all well and good. They think they recreated the results.
I mean, how much do you think they tampered with their experiment because they wanted a good grade?
But these lights have been visible and been spotted in the same spot before cars and before the highway was even there.
So, well, I mean... Hold on, you're saying in the 1800s?
Yes, the road that they did, the highway.
Or but the highway wasn't there. And cars
the track where they were, there weren't cars driving through there before when people saw the lights.
Well, hold on, when did the decapitation occur?
Was in the 20s, but there's been...
1920s, that's cars in the 1920s.
No, but that road wasn't there, and they're saying that there's some legends locally of people reporting those lights before cars were even around. So, although they might have been able to recreate something similar, it doesn't sound like what everybody else is describing. So, yeah, I don't know if they did actually solve it, because they didn't provide any pictures.
Why?
I couldn't find any pictures related to it. So
this is 2000. They didn't have digital cameras back then.
Well, they did, but it was the ones with the floppy disk you put in the side. Remember those? I took 3 photos and now my camera's full.
Was that a thing?
When I was in art college, we had a digital camera.
Yeah.
And you put a floppy disk in the side of it. And you could take a picture and you'd take 5 photos. And the photos were awful.
Right.
It was when we were still...
That's amazing.
We still had we were still developing photos the old-fashioned way in a dark room because the digital cameras were awful. But it's obviously changed.
That's amazing. So. You know, it's funny how like... So back when I was working at iStock Photo in 2007, 2008, 2009, somewhere around that time, you know, have you ever heard of Hasselblad cameras?
I think so.
Hasselblad are like top of the line. They're back then, like if you wanted a Hasselblad camera...
I know David Hasselblad.
Hasselblad.
He had a talking car.
Yep. And his talking car made cameras. That's right. So
no, I like your photos, David.
So like if you wanted to take photos for like billboards, you needed like a super high res. Weren't using film and you wanted to use digital, you get a digital Hasselblad, and it was like a $20,000 or $30,000 camera that had like a 20-megapixel sensor on it. And today you can get like a 25-megapixel phone.
Yeah, my phone does 24.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, there you go.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I don't know. Did they solve it? I think people have still seen it afterwards. It's still being reported. And also, it's so celebrated. In 2014, Canada Post issued a stamp depicting the St. Louis ghost train on a series of 5 ghost tales.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think the girls solved it?
I don't know.
Or do you think there's an actual fucking ghost train?
No, but what I think it is a very interesting phenomenon happening that is just super interesting.
Like, it's fascinating.
It'd be cool to know what it is. Because if you saw that if you could explain, if you have a site where you have this repeatable thing going on, and if you could actually, maybe they did solve it, I don't know, but if you could go there.
I'm really surprised nobody's filmed it.
It could explain a bunch of ghosts and UFO sightings, and it's this kind of perfectly natural phenomenon that happens.
Why has nobody filmed it?
People have filmed it.
What?
I'll show you. There's a bunch of videos. They're not great quality. It just looks like a light in the dark. Yeah. If I stood,
I suppose, right? Yeah.
Say we were in a field or a forest at night, and I just stood
like 100 yards away from you and shone a torch at you and you filmed it. That's what all the video footage looks like.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
What they need is like night vision cameras, thermal cameras. I do like the full spectrum of what you can record.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Of course. Let's just go with the full gamut here. Let's get some grants from the government.
So the St. Louis/Lewis ghost train. Did you like that story?
That was great. Are you kidding me? Let's do more of those.
So Halloween.
Fuck politics.
This Halloween.
Canadian ghost stories are boring. Let's just...
Halloween, go there. That's my advice.
We should contact St. Louis. Louis,
can we come and do,
we'll just tell them that we did this and see if we can get their mayor on,
yeah,
you know, or something, like, I don't know, get them to fly us down, put us up.
It's a really beautiful part of the countryside, so I would quite happily go and spend,
they've got
some
a bridge
time.
And a river,
they do,
yeah. I've got a corner store by a thruple.
What I want to know is, can you jump off the bridge into the river in the summer, because that's fun, or will I break my legs? If you've ever jumped off the St. Louis/Lewis River Bridge and broken your legs or survived, do it every summer for fun, let us know. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com.
Yeah. That was great. Is that all the story?
Happy Halloween, you bastard.
That's what Reese says to every child who comes to his house at Halloween.
May your teeth darken with the...
Molasses candy.
May your teeth darken with sugar. And may your bowels... strain under the weight of the candy that you eat.
Is that what you tell every child that comes to your house for trick-or-treating? Jesus Christ.
So something made me laugh really funny was they posted and it was, hey, be careful this Halloween. Some people have been hiding, you know, the whole, some people are hiding these things in the candy.
Oh, well, that, I mean, that
but never, it was a Snickers bar and it was ripped in half and inside, have you ever seen the paintings by Hieronymus Bosch?
No.
Hieronymus Bosch is I think he's from the Middle Ages, and he'd paint like super weird, surreal religious scenes. And there's this really famous painting called The Garden of Earthly Delights, and it's got like demons eating people.
Okay.
And someone had ripped a Snickers in half and was like, careful, people are hiding paintings by Hieronymus Bosch in the canteen. I don't know why. I've always been a Hieronymus Bosch fan.
I'm going to look him up.
I'm going to show you a picture. You can describe a Hieronymus Bosch painting to our listeners. And
all right, it's going off the rails.
It's actually quite spooky. It's quite a weird. He's a very weird person.
Ironically, going off the rails is kind of
on
point with today's episode.
How would you describe that painting? It's kind of like a landscape with like lots of different things going on.
It's really.
It looks like Where's Wally, but everyone's naked.
Zoom in. Oh yeah,
Where's Wally?
Yeah, everybody's naked, and it's kind of colorful. It's like Where's Waldo? Is it called Where's Wally in Europe?
Yeah,
it's Where's Waldo here. Except everyone's naked. I don't want to say a naked Waldo.
Waldo means phallus.
Oh, does it?
No, I'm joking. I have no idea why he's called Wally and Waldo.
I mean, I don't see any monsters eating people. It's just a bunch of naked people.
But anyway, yeah.
Okay. So I wouldn't call it creepy. Like,
some of his paintings are really creepy. He was, I think he was, I don't know what was going on in his head. But anyway, so if you want to be scared this Halloween, look at the work of Hieronymus Bosch.
While you go to St. Louis/St. Louis. In Saskatchewan, and wait for the ghost train.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Great. Before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to another podcast that
No.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. It's another local podcast. It's a friend of mine, Rachel. They've created a show called Queens of Spice, and it's a new show. They've got about six or so episodes out by the time of this recording, and it's three best friends talking about smutty, filthy romance novels. And there's lots of podcasts out there with three best friends talking about stuff. It's true. And I listened to one and then I kind of got hooked and I listened to a bunch more because of one thing that happens in the middle that is the greatest fucking thing. So one of their friends, Jacqueline, is this sweet, innocent sounding woman, kind of like a Mr. Rogers. And in the first episode, she didn't know her other friends were going to make her do this, but they gave her a passage of like the filthiest, smuttiest passage in one of these books. And they're like, here, you're going to read this. And she's like, what am I doing? And they forced, and they, ever since, they just forced her to read the smuttiest, most graphic shit. And it's hilarious. So just, I'm just telling, I don't know. I don't know if you're into that kind of stuff, but like Queens of Spice, it's worth it for that 5 minute segment. Let me tell you, and said it. That's just my little shout out.
No, it's cool.
Actually, made my day.
I've got a shout as well. I've got a gift for you.
You have a gift for me.
So this is from a listener called Justice Hayes, who's got LazyRiverDesignWorks.com.
Okay.
And he listens to the show. He's got two gifts. So you had a shirt and I had a hat. And this is one of his designs. So
I got a shirt?
And I got like a bucket hat.
This shirt is amazing.
And the bucket hat is like a weird, it's like purple with weird patterns.
I'm so happy I got the shirt instead of the fucking bucket hat.
So how do I look?
You look ridiculous.
Thank you very much.
So, this shirt actually looks really good.
Lazy River Design Works. So this is a shirt he's designed.
Holy shit.
And the hat's for me.
Wow. I think he said it's like a floral shirt, but it's all black and red. Yeah. And so it looks kind of gothy and cool. And floral shirts actually look good on me.
So this is, hey guys, a little something from the left coast as a thank you for your work and cheers for the future hat. Cheers to the future. The hat is for Reese and the shirt is for Jesse. It's a large, but it should fit. My oldest son is a medium and it fits him. I didn't need to read that. Well done and good luck. Take care, Justice. So, Lazy River Design Works. So, Hawaiian shirts, bucket hats, umbrellas, and more.
The fact that you're wearing the bucket hat over your headphones.
It's a bucket hat. It's made designed for overhead. I should cut holes. Can you do us a hat? I won't cut holes in it, but could you do us a hat with holes for headphones? I hope you'll shat yourself or Jesse owes you a million love taps. Never thought I'd say that, but. I did.
Good night, Reese.
Good night, everyone.
There you go. That's your love tabs for the night.
The end.
Go to Patreon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.